Well, hello again, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, in episode 211. Can you believe that? How can anybody talk about cars for that many episodes? Somehow, I have found the way, because I don't always talk about cars. As any regular listener to this radio show can attest, I do not always just talk about cars. I talk about life. I do talk about your car life, you know, and everything that is involved there, but we also talk about other things like business philosophies, things that are going on in the world. We do not talk about politics. It's too controversial, and that's what, you know, I think this is kind of an escape from that, don't you? So let's just keep on this track. What was I going to talk? Oh, yeah. Hotline number is available for you. It's my cell phone. Sounds cooler if I say it's a hotline, but it's actually my cell phone. It's an Apple. I think it's a 13. I haven't upgraded yet. And if I fail to have my Apple iPhone with me, I do have my Apple Watch, so I will not miss you. But just leave me a voicemail if I don't answer. For text, just send it on through. For email, just send it to mycarguru2020@gmail.com. And just in case you can't spell guru, which, I mean, I can understand. It could have like O-U-H or something like that, but it's actually G-U-R-U. So let me have it. I want to hear your questions. Got an interesting question online I want to review with you, and I think it applies to most people. And it reads, Mr. Lawson. They don't realize that was my dad. I'm Lenny, but that's okay. Mr. Lawson, how often should I really change my oil? Because my book says one thing, my dealer says something else, and my father says something else entirely. Please help me. Well, I try to remind folks of this periodically. You need to go by the manufacturer's schedule at a minimum. But what I do and what I recommend to just about everybody, unless you're using a pure synthetic blend oil, and then you might go a little bit longer. Like, I mean, there are some brands that recommend you change oil like every 15,000 miles. No, thank you. I don't care if it does qualify for that. I'm not doing that. I change my oil every 5,000 miles. And I also rotate my tires at the same time. At one time, when I first got into car business, people were changing their oil every 2,500 miles. But because of the modern technology that we have with so much better oils and better engines, you know, engines are much more longer lasting, believe it or not, don't require as much maintenance, have better filtering systems. You can stretch that out a little bit, but you know, most manuals are going to say 7,500 miles or when your oil light comes on. You know, it says change oil soon. And, you know, so the engineers have designed the system to recognize certain symptoms in the engine. And, you know, they look at your time and they look at the mileage and they say, we better turn on this light. So, but every 5,000 miles, or every 6 months, whichever come first. You know, you really shouldn't just let your car sit in a garage and just, or sit outside and, you know, let's say you only drive, I don't know, 5,000 miles a year. Should you just change your oil once a year? No. You should change your oil twice a year. Because, you know, oil degrades over time. You know, I'm not an oil scientist. I don't work for Texaco or something like that. That's just something that I've learned over the years. Probably through osmosis, but you really should change your oil every 6 months or every 5,000 miles, whichever comes first, and then get your tires rotated, because rotating your tires and keeping the pressures up are going to make your tires last a lot longer. And so that's my recommendation. That is a long answer to a very short question, and you can tell your dealer. And, you know, just forget your owner's manual. But I tell you what, one of the best things you can do as an owner of a car is to basically just keep a record. You know, just go buy a little record book or something you can write in. Every time you get your oil changed, jot it down in that book. That will impress the next person you try to send it to. Anything that you do to your car, you can either, if you get a receipt from the dealership in the form of a repair order, copy of that or something, that's the best thing to do. Just fold it up and stick it in your owner's manual. But your glove box could get pretty full after a number of years. So you can do that. I'd keep all those receipts, but I would also just jot it down in a little book. People like that. Here's my maintenance record, sir. And he looks at that and said, man, this is detailed. you better believe it, I take care of my stuff. Do you think somebody will pay more for a car that's been taken care of? I would. You would too. Okay, so what else do we have here? Okay, so out of the 6 emailed questions that I had since yesterday, and thank you, by the way, for sending your questions to mycarguru2020@gmail.com, because it gives me something to talk about. And I'm addressing issues that are important to you. So this was kind of the most, I thought this was the most interesting. It's also one of those hard ones to answer, and that's what I like. Lenny, so they didn't call me Mr. Lawson. Thank you for your radio show. I have an easy question. At least it'll be easy for you. He's bragging on me. He's softening me up. What is the ideal time to trade cars? Okay, so I'm having to kind of interpret what he's saying. Is he saying, what is the best time of year to trade cars? Or, like, how long should you keep a car before you trade it? Those are two unique questions, and I'll address both of them. Okay. There's so many variables when you're talking about the best time of the year to buy a car. Because, you know, dealers are having sales all the time. You know, they blow up the big purple gorilla and put it in the front yard. And, you know, if you watch the advertising, they're having the biggest sale ever, you know, is happening this weekend. And it's just, you know, it's just come on, basically. But so as far as the timing is concerned, I would probably want to buy a car early in the model year. Like, okay, so the 2023s are coming out right now. They're starting to hit the lots, and now's a good time to buy them. Because you get to benefit from the entire model year. If you buy a 2023 right before it turns to 2024, you better get a good deal on it, because it's, you've got 1 year of depreciation that will tick off as soon as you drive it off the lot, or as soon as the year changes. Okay, all of a sudden you're driving a one-year-old car and you just bought it. Does that make sense? Now, you know, the advantage, I guess, of doing that would be that the prices traditionally would be much lower. The rebates would be a lot bigger towards the end of the year, because they're trying to get rid of the 2023 models before the 2024 models come out. So that makes perfectly good sense. But this is, these are different times right now. We've talked about the, you know, the all the effects of the pandemic and what it has done to supply lines and chip shortages and all that stuff. So right now, you know, there aren't a lot of deals out there, but still the model year thing still applies. So I would think that this would be a great time to buy a new vehicle. A year from now, are they going to be cheaper? I don't think the supply thing is going to get a lot better, folks. So I'd say no. Your car will depreciate that you're driving now even more a year from now. Middle of the year, you know, I mean, it's a coin flip, but I hope you understand the logic that I'm using here. Okay. Now, how long should you keep a car? Well, I have a good friend of mine. He's bought, and you'll probably say that's why he's such a good friend, he's bought like 140 vehicles from me since 1979. That's a lot of trading. There are some years he would trade 5 times in a year. And, you know, we became good friends. We were good friends before he bought the first vehicle from me. First vehicle he ever bought from me was for his wife. He was driving a Jeep, and he was getting married, and he decided to trade the Jeep. He had another vehicle to drive. He decided to trade the Jeep for a Mazda RX-7 right when they came out. And so that was number one of many, many, many. But, you know, as far as his methodology, you know, he buys a car and drives it. And I know that Mark is going to be trading pretty soon. And he's not going to keep it very long. So I always got to keep him. I won't let him buy something that I know is going to really depreciate fast. Of course, that's nothing right now. Nothing depreciates fast right now. But traditionally, I would say, Mark, you know, don't buy that van. You know, you need to buy a pickup truck or maybe an SUV, because it won't depreciate as fast, because I know I'm going to end up with it in a few months. And so that's just something that I coach him on. But he's not you. You know, you're not going to buy that many cars. You might buy one every 2 years, 3 years, whatever. The average trading cycle now has increased a little bit. It's a little bit longer than it was. It's up to 42 months for the average person. Do you trade that often? I mean, do you like to get a new car every 3 years or so? Do you like to trade before the warranty runs out? You know, that's one of the milestones that we always went by in the car business, is just trade before the factory warranty runs out. But now warranties go so long, you know, a lot of dealers are offering lifetime powertrain warranties. So Maybe you don't ever have to worry about the warranty side of things. You can just keep it until the wheels fall off. Now, back in the 70s and 80s, the lifetime of a car was about 100,000 to 125,000 miles. Now we're seeing a lot of cars with 250,000, 300,000 miles, and they're still going strong. So a car will last longer. If you ask Dave Ramsey, you know, some of the financial gurus out there, they'll say that just wear the car out. Just keep the car until it won't go anymore and then go buy a new one because you're getting your money's worth out of the deal. But I'm not one of those people. I like, you know, I probably, if I were not a car dealer, I would probably want to trade every 4 years or so. I'm not worried about the warranty running out. I would want to get my use out of the car, but I also like to, I'm kind of an early adopter. You know, if Apple comes out with a new watch, I want it. New iPhone, got to have it. You know, new electric bicycle. Well, mine's not fast enough. I got to have a new one. And then I build some kind of a case to make sure that I can justify it. That doesn't sound real smart, but that is kind of the way I handle a lot of consumer products. Now, cars, I'd be a little bit different, but I do watch the technology change, and it's changing rapidly. And, you know, with electrification and stuff, I don't know if electric cars are going to be a really viable thing in the near term. I don't think so. I think that it will be probably anywhere from 8 to 10 years before the majority of people really are serious about moving to electric. Now, that's not true in, you know, on the coasts, but in the heartland, most people are not real confident. And, you know, they look at the price, they look at the driving range, they look at the charging infrastructure, and they say, nah. And so they're going to try to stick with the good old internal combustion engine as it gets more efficient, and maybe some hybrids, you know, that run on both. That's, to me, is the best solution, a hybrid vehicle. So how often should you trade? You know, if you're one of those people that don't mind driving it, you know, until it just dies, that's fine. But you got to look at maintenance expenses and, you know, what's it going to cost if you have to replace an air compressor and those kind of things. Those are like monthly payments. You know, I've seen people spend more on maintenance. You know, if an engine goes out, for example, and you have to put a new engine in a vehicle with 100,000 miles on it, that's anywhere from $7,000 to $15,000. I mean, they are very expensive, especially on foreign cars. I mean, it's off the charts. We actually accidentally damaged a Mercedes in our service department one time. We put the wrong oil filter on it. Well, we ordered an oil filter for it from a local parts store. I won't say what it was. We told them what it was, the make, model, year, and everything. They sent us a filter, said it would work. We put it on. Less than 1,000 miles later, the engine locked up. It was the oil filter's fault. We went back, and the auto parts company ended up filing it on insurance and paid for it. That engine, the first quote we got was $37,000 for the engine. Actually found a remanufactured engine through Mercedes-Benz for just under $20,000. That was plus labor. So that's a lot of money, and that's something that you don't want to have to worry about. So, you know, trade what makes sense to you. You know, a lot of people, if they pay cash for a car, that's one thing. If they're making monthly payments, you know, that fever hits. You know, if you got a car financed for 60 months, you start thinking, you know, we only got a year left. We might have a little equity. Let's think about trading. Not a bad time to trade if you've got equity. Just don't trade if you're still upside down on the car. Just keep it. Just suffer through it. Wait till you're at least at a break-even point or close, or you have the cash to make up the difference. You know, if you're just really sick of it, if your family situation has changed, then I understand it. You know, trade cars then, but, you know, just don't push it to where you put yourself into financial distress, and make sure that if you do buy a new one, that the monthly payment is affordable and you're not stretching too much. Just, you know, be wise about it, do the math, and you'll do the right thing. All right, I'll take my first break. Be back here in just... Okay, I am back. I was looking at what they call a buyer's order. It's actually they call it a bill of sale and buyer's order. We refer to them sometimes as a deal sheet. It is basically, it has the salesperson's name, the purchaser's name, the date of the transaction, all that. It's not actually the contract or anything, although it could be construed as a contract. It has the total vehicle price. It shows the trading difference, you know, the sales taxes and all that. And man, is there, now this is not ours, this is one of a competing dealer. I use it as an example of a horrendous deal. And I use it on this show. Sometimes I talk about some of the things. It's just a classic case of ripoff. But I was also looking at the fine print, and there's a lot of it on here. I guarantee that whoever signed this document did not read that fine print. They just see it. I think most people don't take the time to read it. Do you know who all this fine print is designed to protect? Not you. No, it's not there to protect you. It's there to protect the dealership from you and from any claims that you make or that the representatives of the dealership have made. You know, there's this one whole paragraph that talks about agreements that the dealer may have, you know, agreed to out on the lot. Let's say a salesperson said, yeah, we'll fill up your car with gas. Or, yeah, we'll throw in some mats. I'll probably get my managers to throw in some mats or something like that. Well, it never comes up again. You leave, and your wife, you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden your wife said, honey, what happened to those mats that we were supposed to get? Oh, you say, well, I'll call them in the morning. It's late. So you call them in the morning, and nobody remembers anything about mats. You know, it was something that was said, and really you're owed it, right? I mean, if a salesperson said that they'll throw in mats, you should get mats. But folks, if it's not in writing, then the dealership is not liable for it. And that's what this small print says. One of my favorite sayings is, what the large print giveth, the fine print taketh away. So you read this, or you don't, and then you suffer the consequences. You know, yeah. Why would a dealership want to start off a relationship with a new customer arguing over a set of floor mats? But you would be surprised. And, you know, as a customer, I know it's frustrating. You go in there and you're asking around and, well, this guy doesn't know anything about it. And then you go, well, go talk to Charlie. And you go talk to Charlie and he doesn't know anything about it. And you need to talk to Sue. And then you just get to run around and then say, okay, I'm not going back to this place. Charlotte, this was a mistake. We shouldn't have bought this thing. So I'm a big advocate of getting a document called a WEO. So that's what dealers call it. It's a WEO. It means we owe this customer something. It's actually a document. It says we owe at the top of it. And so anything that you were promised before you go into the finance office, you know, you're talking to the salesperson. Now remember, you said you were going to give us some floor mats, so I want to put it on this document. And then they sign that, a manager signs it in the finance office, and then you get a copy of it, and then you have your floor mats on there. You know, it could involve a spray-in bed liner, or it could be a bed cover, or a new set of wheels, or whatever accessories that you were getting and that they didn't have in stock at the time. For example, when I bought my F-150 truck, I don't like the stance on them because it has kind of a rake. It's lower in the front than it is in the back, and that's for fuel economy reasons. Well, I like to have the truck leveled. So they put these little blocks in the springs, and it raises the front end, and it levels the truck. And then I put bigger wheels and tires on it, or bigger tires. I kept the original wheels. And so, you know, this is just something that I like. And if I was buying the vehicle at a dealership, and I wanted those accessories, but they couldn't do it now, I would get that on a WEO. So make sure you get your WEO. It's very important. Now, if you're buying a used car, most used cars are sold as is. You'll see on the window it says, as is, no dealer warranty. That just means that the dealer is not providing any kind of additional warranty coverage. They may have advertised a lifetime powertrain warranty or something like that. So if that's on the car, make sure you get the documentation for that. Just don't assume that it's on the car. You know, it's not stamped on the car or anything. You have to have the documentation to prove that. So if they're advertising a lifetime powertrain warranty, you get a document that says that it's got a lifetime powertrain warranty. And something that also explains what the coverages are, what the deductibles are, and stuff like that. But as is just means that the dealership's not putting a warranty on it. Now, some dealers will put like a 90-day warranty on it just so that they don't have to check the as is box on the FTC label because it just doesn't look good. So they're willing to step up and take care of problems. But if you see any problems, like real early on, jump on it. Don't wait. You know, get it taken care of. You know, if you see, for example, you bought a used car on Saturday, and you notice that when you're going down the road, just the tires are just really vibrating. Maybe you took it for a test drive. It was a short test drive, but you get out on the interstate, and I mean, it'll rattle your teeth. Then don't wait. Call the dealership that night, if possible, and say, listen, I was just taking this thing home, really, really like the car and everything, but it's got a really bad vibration. Can I get it in the shop and take care of that on a Monday? If they make you pay for anything or give you any grief about that, you bought your car at the wrong place, but I realize it's too late. I would talk to the manager. More than likely, though, if you tell them really quickly, you know, just as soon as possible, don't wait a week. Don't wait 3 days. You know, jump on it, and while it's fresh in their minds, and then they'll probably take care of it. If they don't, again, you're doing business with the wrong people. Okay, I'll take my last break and be back here in just a second. I guess the bottom line here is don't believe anything that's just said and not backed up by a document. You know, have it in writing, regardless of what it is. You know, you may be buying a used car and it's got a door ding, and they say they're going to fix it. Get it on a WIO. I want that in writing. You know, you don't have to be a jerk about it. I mean, just say, could I please have that in writing? You know, I just, any of these commitments, I've just been burned before, and I just want to make sure my car guru told me that I knew. Who's car, what? Car guru, who's that? Oh, it's just this guy I listened to on a podcast. He told me to get it in writing on something called a WIO. Oh, okay. We'll give you a copy of the WIO. See, I might have saved you some money right there. That's the kind of thing I love to do for folks. If I can help you in any way, send me a text message to 423-552-2020, or you can email me at mycarguru2020@gmail.com. I'm Lenny Lawson. I'm your car guru, and don't forget it. We'll see you next time.